everybody, and welcome to The Librarian on Authors on the Air. I am the librarian host, Tabitha Pope. This is a copyrighted and trademarked podcast owned solely by the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC, on the web at authorsontheair.com. Tonight, I have Triple Threat, and you will soon know what I am talking about when I say Triple Threat. I have the guest authors, Kendall Alexander and Sarah York. Best-selling author Kendall Alexander is an innovative writer and a genre crosser who writes classic fantasy, romance, suspense, and erotica in both the male-male and male-female genres. It is always a surprise to see what's coming next. She lives in the suburbs of Dallas, where it is true that the only thing bigger than an overactive imagination is the women's hair, and I am from Dallas. I will say for sure that is true. You can find more out about Kendall Alexander visiting her website, which is www.kendallalexander.com, and you can email her at kendall@kendallalexander.com. All those links are right here on the website. And our other side of the guesthood is Sarah York. Writing is Sarah York's life. The stories fight to get out, often leaving her working on 4 or 5 books at a time. She can't help but write. Along with the writing addiction, she has a coffee addiction. Some nights, the only reason she stops writing and goes to sleep is for the fresh brewed coffee in the morning. Sarah enjoys writing twisted tales of passion, anger, and love with a healthy dose of lust thrown in for fun. And you can visit Sarah York at her blog and website. And I believe that's www.sarahyork.com. So check that out there. All the links are there on the website. I'm going to slowly but surely bring everybody live and give you guys, since you're all from Texas and so am I, I'm going to say howdy.
Howdy. Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy.
Welcome, ma'am, to the library. And yeah, there you go. You got it right. I know you got it somewhere deep down. We're all Texans. Hold up.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I gotta go get them.
Well, that's right. Go get them. Fixing to go get them. So. Well, welcome to the show. I'm excited. I love to have more than one guest at a time. I think it always makes for a real fun show. So this ought to be really funny.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you to say that I can attest to Sarah's bio about the coffee. Because that pot is always freshly brewed. And when it gets down even an inch, she's in there dumping it out and starting a new one all day long until she goes to bed.
Oh, my.
It's true. It's true. Hashtag true story.
Well, good going, Sarah. You're going to be a real awake person. Does it not bother you? You can go to sleep even after drinking coffee?
I actually sleep more than they do.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, I drink iced
tea. Yeah, 8 o'clock does roll around pretty quick.
Well, I drink iced tea all day, and everybody's like, doesn't that keep you up at night? I said, nope, not a bit. I'm going to sleep right now if you want me to, really.
Yeah, that's my writing partner, Kendall 1.0. She is that same way with coffee. She can drink it and go straight to bed. But if I drink it after 2 o'clock, you can forget it. I will be up all night long.
That's most people I know. Most people are like, you know, if I get into the afternoon and have coffee, it's not a good thing. I'll be up all night. I'm like, oh, I wish caffeine did that to me. It doesn't.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's get down to, because we've got three creative geniuses on the phone with me right now. So I'm gonna start with the odd woman out and start with Sarah, and just kind of work our way over to the other two of you, because I don't know if a lot of people know that Kendall Alexander is a writer. So, Sarah, just start with you real quick. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Putting you on the spot. You don't have a partner. So, just a real quick, you live in Texas too. Are you just from Texas?
So I grew up in Texas. However, I moved to South Carolina 4 years ago.
Okay. So that's why the team is out there. Okay. I understand. Okay. Well, you're still allowed to be a Texan. It's okay. I'm in College Station right now, but I'm from Dallas and lived in Houston, and now I'm in College Station. I've lived in Austin.
What part of Dallas?
I lived in Carrollton.
Oh, wow. That's where Sarah lived. Didn't you live there, Sarah?
No, I lived in Frisco.
I had family in Frisco. In Frisco and Plano and McKinney and Louisville and Flowers Mound and Denton.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yes,
I just got back from there the other day. That's why I can't remember what day it is. So, anyway. Got to go through that traffic on 45 between and just lose your damn mind. So, but anyway.
And
let's
lose
go
your
back.
Mind. I know.
It's
that
horrible.
About the traffic. And I'm not trying to negate from Sarah, but we live in Dallas right now, and that traffic is so horrendous until you drive Atlanta. And
Right. Then
you wish for the Dallas traffic.
Exactly.
Okay, now go ahead. I'm sorry, Sarah.
No, but I agree with you. Houston is way worse. And then there's this other monster called Austin that's just a freaking nightmare. I don't know if you've ever been in Austin traffic. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we won't even go there.
Yes.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Those people pull out guns and yeah. Anyway,
that's just normal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what everybody thinks. Yeah. Anyway, so welcome Sarah, and we're gonna come back to you. Let's flip the coin and go over to Kendall Alexander, and let's explain to the world who the team of Kendall Alexander is.
Well, I'm the shy one.
Okay.
For some reason, you can tell she's shy. It's just killing her to have to say anything. It is. It's killing me to have to speak. And I'm Kindle 2.0 because I claimed it first. I made her Kindle 1.0.
Okay,
and usually that means that she'll have to go before me. And she's incredibly shy in front of people and doesn't talk a lot, so it makes me laugh. That they'll look at her first to speak, and then I'm over there just rolling. It's so funny to me. We are a writing team. We are friends. We live close to each other in the Dallas area, and hashtag Dallas Strong. That's important right now. We're very much proud to be from Dallas, and with everything that's happened, I just want to make sure that we say that. I've made it my cause to stop police officers and make sure they know that.
We appreciate
them and what they're doing and all that. So we lived in the same area. We have children the same age, and that's how we met. And unfortunately, none of our children are gay men. But, there's still hope somewhere down the line. Rhonda has no hope. I still have one. He's 18. I've just told him that he's going to have to come out straight to me and tell them he's gay. But he did come out of the closet door and say, I'm straight. I was like, you get back in that closet and you keep baking. You're not fit as bacon. So we're friends. We started writing together, and most people don't know that there's two of us. In our world, we write all over each other. We have one voice. And that's one of the things that they seem to say is they go back and read our books because they can't see the flipping and personalities. And we're just very vested in what we create together. So our books are written together.
So I really love the message that you put out, that you sent me, and it's also on your website, about how you came to be. And that's a really moving story. About your daughter. I don't know if it's 1.0 or 2.0, but yes, please tell us the story and how you got together. And the fact that you guys were writing fanfic and got together like that, it's really kind of, it's kind of groovy. I like it.
Well, you want to go?
You go.
Go ahead.
Are you sure? Okay, you tell me what I do wrong. Okay.
I always do.
She always tells me I do wrong. Won't be a problem.
And I get to leave.
She has no problem. My daughter was killed by a drunk driver when she was 16 years old, and that was 8 years ago now. And as those things happen, it was crippling and very unexpected and came out of nowhere. And she was just down from the house that night, so it was just a horrible thing. And Kendall 1.0, though I'll accidentally say her real name, I'm sure, during this story, because it was, it's such a personal
thing.
It's
too hard not to, yeah.
It's too hard not to. She was my friend. And during that time, I was destroyed, and there were times, like, she would call me in a week and say, okay, I haven't heard from you. What are you doing? So I started referring to her as the sympathy whisperer because she just understood how to talk to me. And that's, again, like I keep saying, very rare because people will, you know, shy away from talking about the child, all of those things. And she just never did that. She just let me talk. And that child's name was Kendall, and it was spelled the way we spell Kendall Alexander, K-I-M-D-L-E. Mm-hmm. It was very unique. It was very different. No one had it. You couldn't find a ruler with the name on it to save your life.
Yeah.
And she did not even know about the Kindle Amazon, and she would have finally had something with her name on it.
Oh, my.
And so through that time, Kindle 1.0 and I were reading together, and we read Twilight together, and then we grew up, our vampires grew up, and we started reading J.R. Ward.
Oh, yeah.
And in reading J.R. Yeah.
That was my gateway drug, too.
Yes. Yes. And in reading J.R. Ward, we found it. We had never been introduced to it at all. But we've read. I mean, we were a book a day readers. And, you know, Half Price Book knew us by name because we'd go back and buy all 20 in the series.
Right.
And we would start up at Frisco, where y'all know, and we would head down through Dallas and crisscross all the Half Price Books in order to get all of the books that we needed. And during that time, we met Blaylock Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And as, if you're a fan of hers, then you know that Blaylock is gay.
Oh, yeah.
And she evolves him in such a way that it's not in your face. You grow to love him, and then you grow to love him more with his struggle.
Right.
And one day... One day, do you want to tell it? One day, I was on the phone with Kindle 1.0, and she asked me, Kindle 2.0, do you know who Beth Randall is? And back then, you know, Facebook for non-college students was just pretty much brand new, and adults weren't really on there. So you didn't accept everybody's friend request at all because everyone on the internet was a predator.
Uh-huh.
Stranger danger. They were going to figure out where you live. So she said, do you know Beth Randall? And I was like, I think I know Beth Randall. And she's like, well, how do you know her? And I was like, I don't know. So then she went through all of her friends and called all of her friends. And everybody's like, well, I think I know Beth Randall. And so she braved up after a day of staring at that friend request. And she accepted it. And that turned out to be Queen Beth, Raph's wife.
Right.
And then we found out all about the world of role play.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Bishop was there and Bush was there. And, well, Blaylock wasn't there.
Oh.
And this is how it started. She got a we actually, at the time, didn't even know the authors weren't responsible for these groups. And she got a message that said, have you ever thought about role play? It's just like, well, maybe if you'll tell me what that means. And long story short, they asked her to play Blaylock online. And her husband hated it. And because she was a gay male vampire warrior.
Yes, a gay male vampire warrior.
Because the only people on the internet were predators, so she was going to be a gay male vampire warrior against predators. And I wanted to pay her back. Because she'd been so kind to me, and she loved this, and she was an empty nester at that point.
Uh-huh.
So I said I would do it at night, and she could do it during the day, and I was going to pay her back. So I went and sat at her house and watched her do this role play, and I was smiling at her, but in my head I was thinking, this is crazy. She's crazy. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. What crazy people do this crazy thing? But I smiled in her face as I was taking notes, writing crazy, crazy, crazy. And it took about 45 minutes of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yep. So then we took on Saxton. If you know the story, you'll know that.
Right.
And we started writing Blaylock and Saxton because this was way before
yeah.
She changed things, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And then she changed things. And And we were so mad at her because we thought Blaylock
was hurt. We were hurt for Blaylock.
We were hurt for him. We hurt for that fictional character. That was almost as bad as losing Kendall.
Yeah, right, yeah.
And we had done some role playing, and we just switched them out of that. And they're actually a source of every single book that we've written since then. Yeah,
Keegan and Aiden.
The foundation. Yeah, Keegan and Aiden now.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm...
Sarah Ward dared to change her characters up.
Right. Yeah. Well,
yep.
Okay, so here comes my confession.
Okay.
So,
I'm ready.
So I was really into the Black Dagger Brotherhood as well, and got into the role playing online on Facebook, and hold on, I'm looking for it.
Was it a girl or a boy?
It's the sad one. The sad one whose wife died.
Fury.
No. Thor. Was it Thor? No.
Tor.
Torment.
I played
Tor.
I played Torment. Yeah. Yeah, I played Tor, and, you know, this was before she wrote the book with him and no one. And no one had just come into being in the book before. And so I was having him romance.
Rosie died.
No one.
Rotten
yeah.
Rosie.
He was romancing no one before she put out the book with him, about him and no one. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, I really did. I was addicted to it. I was at work. I was a reference librarian at work, role playing. That's a freaking reference desk.
What group were you in?
I don't even remember because they closed it, you know, when they said it wasn't sanctified by the author, and they closed it. And anyway, so yeah, I was him, and my face for him was always, you know, the guy that played the Phantom of the Opera, guy, the Scottish guy.
Oh,
I'm just drawing a blank.
Yes.
Drawing a blank. Anyway, that was who I always thought he should be. So, yes, I am, too, a victim of the Black Dagger Brotherhood, and I named my son. My son's middle name is Quinn. So,
you're a Quinn lover. We might have to hang up this phone. Stop talking on the phone, and you say that ugly, ugly thing.
But, I really do. I like how it turned out with them. I thought it was very tastefully done
I'm
in a way.
I'm sitting on you. I'm going to your fan page. I'm sitting on you.
I didn't read any books past that one though, because I just got life got too busy. So I'm way.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, I throw baby fits apparently because once I found out, I stopped reading it. I thought the whole series was nicely tied up. Because the boys were so young, Blay was dating Saxton, Quinn had gone on, he wasn't a brother yet or any of that,
right.
And I thought it all tied up nicely, and that's whenever I stopped reading it. But here's the thing, and this is how Sarah fits into this role play stuff. So back in that day, and Tabitha, I think you might attest to this, is that, you know, authors are rock stars.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes,
they are
yes.
Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie combined into one person.
Oh, hey, yeah.
So
yeah,
Sarah
for sure.
was writing, and she was one of the first, well, she was the first author to talk to us in our role play characters on Facebook.
Oh wow!
and that's how we met her, was through doing that, and we were so excited. We were so excited, and then when we met her accidentally, we were at a conference. Yeah, we were hitting each other, and we were like, "There she is! There she is! There she is! There she is!" And then she was so nice, and she came up and hugged us both. because she couldn't understand why we were so excited. And then the second time she saw us, she remembered us and said hello again. And you would have thought that the world opened up happiness upon us. This is just the whole world, just butterflies and whatever, rainbows and puppy dogs. Yes. Yeah. You remember that, Sarah?
Awesome.
Yeah, it's always funny to hear that story.
I guess she doesn't remember it at all now.
I remember meeting you in Atlanta. It's just all the online talking. I have no idea.
It's that coffee, man. You gotta let off the coffee.
We would watch Sarah and learn so much about just the workings of things, because she was so good at Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we would learn and learn and learn. And I think it's through Sarah that we even learned that about Kindle 1.0 is telling me something, but I can't understand for sign language. I'm really supposed to let somebody else call. Yeah. Okay, so Sarah was a teacher of this whole genre. I always give her credit for bringing everyone into the genre, because she was so open and would help any author that needed help and answer any question that needed answering, because she just wanted to grow the genre.
That's a great genre. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, and it's an important thing that I think that was missing. And I think when people think, you know, people who maybe maybe they're a little homophobic or whatever, and they think, oh, male, they're thinking sweaty men rolling around, you know, or whatever they're thinking. I don't know what they're thinking. But they're just like, yeah, but it can be just as, I mean, I would have to say that I wasn't exposed to it until Blaylock, and just like you guys, Blaylock and Saxon, and then, you know, later on with Quinn and the whole bit. And
yeah.
But it was beautiful. I was bawling, you know. By the time and Quinn got together, I was bawling. I had wanted it to happen so bad, you know. And every kiss was precious, and everything he did was so romantic and sweet. And, you know, I was just like, okay, wow, that was so eye-opening that, you know, I could read those and enjoy them on the same level, you know, and still identify with them, you know. So, yeah, I agree.
I want to just say something about that. I actually received a letter from a gay man who said, I never thought I could love anyone because I was a gay man and I'd been told I could never love anyone. And once I read your book, I realized maybe I could try. And so he read one of the Texas books, which came out like back in 2012,
mm-hmm.
found love, changed his whole paradigm of what he thought a gay man could be, found love, and actually married his guy that he found.
That's wonderful. And see, that's just, you wrote a book that was just your story, you know, just something, and you made a that kind of connection to somebody that helped them change their lives. And that's what I love about, especially romance
yes.
across the board, is that you can touch people in a way that you really can't with writing, if you were writing a thriller or a crime, you know, fiction, or even,
right.
I mean, plain old women's lit type stuff. You know, romance, it touches something deeper, something primordial, something that is the basic, you know, or something in our souls. And I love that. I love that somebody can say something like that to you and say, wow, what this helped me do. I mean, if they're just getting through a hard time in their life, they picked up a book, it lifted their spirit so they can help move on, is a huge thing. And that's a service that authors like the three of you provide, and that's really amazing. It's almost magical to me.
I agree with that, and I take that into and I have to be careful of the words I use, but what straight people, straight women. You know, they've come into the genre by the tens of thousands. I'm eagerly looking for things because just one exposure, like with Sarah's book, humanizes it all, makes them more, you know, we all go through the same things. We are all the same people. It's it's just one small aspect of their life that might be a little bit different than ours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love is love.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And do you think it makes people a little more empathetic to what goes on around them, you know, since they've kind
absolutely.
Of lived a life through
absolutely.
The through story?
Absolutely. Look at what has happened with the laws of the country. I don't think we would have seen marriage equality if a huge portion of straight women wouldn't have gotten behind the movement and demanded equality.
Mm-hmm.
I agree too. That's always what's surprising to people, and I think Sarah can say the same thing to us, is when they first find out what we write, there's a little shock value inside there. And then they go straight into, oh, I have a gay friend that would read this. And then we say, well, that's great, but the majority of people that read this are straight.
Or women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, straight women. And there's always there's silence for a minute. Like, okay. Is that
yeah,
the same with you, Sarah?
Is that the same with you, Sarah? Straight women? Is that your audience mostly?
I have quite a few gay men who read, but mostly it's straight women.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when
that's
in the world, I wonder what we could do to make more straight men read it, because I think that's who really needs to read it. They need to get a grip. They need to know that love is love.
There's a lot of women that give these books to their husbands and make them read them. That is something. That's a good point, because that happens so much because they don't understand why their wives are reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gotten many messages from straight husbands that are so surprised.
Really?
I have a series that's Cowboy Assassins. And there are some straight guys who read that, because it's cowboys who are assassins.
Right. Kind of like, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool,
you know,
enough for that.
Guys, yeah, they you know, go off and fight and punch and do war stuff. And the guys are like, okay, I can read that.
Well, and, you know, I don't think sexual orientation has anything to do with your job or your, you know, there's this whole superficial labeling that, you know, that all male hairdressers are homosexual, and you know, all girls who play sports have got to be lesbian and things like that, that are ridiculous. The stereotypes are ridiculous, because my parents' next door neighbor, for the last 30 years, he works on helicopters for the military, and he is married to the love of his life, who is not only are they a gay couple, but they're an interracial gay couple. They've been married for 30 years. Well, they've been together for 30 years. They've been married for, well, now I think they got married about 4 years ago. And,
wow.
You know, they break all the barriers, and they're just, you know, he's an engineer, a flight engineer. He works on helicopters design.
Mm-hmm.
So he breaks all the stereotypes. So what the hell, you know, why do people have to be, I just don't, you know, they immediately, I have a hairdresser. My favorite hairdresser is a guy. He's married to somebody I know very well. He's not gay. You know, why do you have to make these stereotypes? So I love that you write things that are outside of those stereotypes, so that people can say, well, if normal people do this, oh, wow. You know, they can get out of their little hole for a little while and figure it out. So
I do love that, too. And it's remarkable to me. We have friends, Chris Cook and Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Cook is an author. and a friend of ours from Dallas, and they've been together just almost 30 years.
Yeah.
And it's so remarkable to me because being together 30 years is hard. But
yeah, for everybody.
Texas and being gay and all of the obstacles that come with that over the years, and they were able to manage to stay together through all of that is a testament to that love.
Right.
Exactly.
And like you said, that just goes to prove that love is love, and people really need to break down. I mean, we've got so many stereotypes across this country for everything anyway that just need to be cracked and broken. All of us on this call right now, we've all lived with that because at one point in time you've been labeled a Texan and everybody else in the country has an image of that in their mind.
Right.
So we've all got to be riding horses to work, wearing cowboy bats and boots, and we're backwards. We all have guns. We're married to our first cousin. You know, they've got this just constant crap.
Yes.
And when people say, you're from Texas, you don't have an accent. And I'm like, yeah, wait till I get a few beers in me. You'll hear it. You know, it's just, but it doesn't matter. I shouldn't be, I have a lot of pride in my state. I don't mind being labeled a Texan. You can call me that if you want to. I'm great about that. But it shouldn't mean something derogatory to anybody. So
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that too. And you know, the other thing that I find now is that people think about us as extremely religious. You know, like when you walk in and you say you're from Texas, the first thing is not the cowboy boots anymore. It is extreme religion. And I find that funny because it's not necessarily the whole state.
Well, it's not even close.
Well, not the whole state. Nope, not even close.
No, but that's funny to me too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's because we've got people like Joel Osteen having their church syndicated on TV around the world, and that's what everybody thinks Texas is now. So thank you very much. Whatever.
Well, if they would think we were as nice as Joel Osteen, that would be a good thing that we weren't either.
Yeah, except I don't see him giving out his money, so.
We don't talk about that. That's one of those things just push under.
Put
that under the rug.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say, that's one thing we have in Texas. If you don't know anything about Texas, we have manners. We will not talk crap to you about you to your face. I promise you.
Okay.
We'll tell you, bless your sweet little heart, and you'll think, oh, they're nice. So, anyway.
Bless your heart.
Bless your heart. Yeah, that's right. So, yeah.
Okay,
anyway.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I should wait until we're not on the air. Do you know Jeff Reeves?
No, I do not.
Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. Jeff Reeves. It sounds familiar, but I don't know. But anyway, okay. Okay, so you met Sarah, and you guys were inspired to which I was as well from the role playing to write because I could get into the, I figured out I could get into the mind of a character like that and make them do what I want. And I liked it a lot. So you guys started writing together.
Mm-hmm.
And when did you decide you were going to write something that you could produce to publish?
Well, if you ask Kindle 1.0, we still can't. So that was
you guys
was
are like yin and yang, man.
Yeah, that was a little struggle because we had written, you know, like 300,000 words, and
as role play,
and you know, role play is different than writing. But I remember the day that I'm going to tell secrets on her. I remember the day that I went to her house instead of calling on the phone, and I said, I think we can do this. I think we can turn our stories in because we've grown a little bit of a following on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, her words were, I can't write. Now, we had 300,000 words written. And, you know, so I let that go because, you know, dumb is dumb. No, I'm just kidding. and then I had my next argument ready, and she said, but I failed English. And I was like, well, I think that's why you have an editor, but I'm not entirely sure. But I think that we find a good editor, and we struggled with our editor.
Mm.
But finding one that works well with us and that would do the content that we do.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did, and I had to push her, and she is immovable when she gets scared, but I had to push her and dangle carrots in front of her face because I was so vested in what we were doing, and it was so emotionally healing for me that I needed to hang on to it. And it's still that way. That's exactly the way that it is now. It's still that way. It's, you know, Sarah can tell you here that we have to leave her alone so she can write. We have to get the pillows right behind her back. Is your water full? Do you need some lunch over there? Everybody get quiet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Sorry.
Sarah, that's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
What? Y'all have to leave me alone?
No. Well, yeah, we have to leave you alone, too. Yeah, but you're a powerhouse. We had a writing retreat together before a signing in Charleston this weekend. And we rented a house, and Sarah is teaching us how to do this. But we wake up in the morning at a reasonable hour and come out of the room, and Sarah's in there, and she's like, 50 more words, and I've written 7,000 words this morning.
Wow. You are a powerhouse.
Not quite 7,000 in the morning.
She walked in yesterday and said, I finished my book, and I'm already halfway through the other one. Right, right. And we're looking at her like, ours are like giving birth. Ours are 9 months of torture. I'm staring at the screen trying to figure out a word. And Sarah says, blah, blah, blah. Her keys are just going 90 to nothing.
Hey, when the ideas are flowing, you got to get them out.
So in my bio, I say I have like 4 or 5 books that I'm working on at the same time. We did foster care, which kind of split my writing life because I wrote before foster care. And then we did foster care for a while. And then I wrote after foster care. And I forgot about books that I wrote before foster care because it was just a life-changing experience. I actually have, I think, I've gone through my files and I've found a lot of books. I have 31 current work in progresses.
My God, girlfriend.
There's like 4 or 5 books that are totally written that I had totally forgotten about.
Wow. Well, that's good, though. That's like treasure.
I completely
that
forgot that I wrote
4 years
them.
Of my life.
That's 4 years. 31? No, it's not 4 years.
4 or 5 books completely done. And the other thing that she's good at that we're not good at is that she can write on a bunch of different subjects. Is that the way to say it? Like, she has her assassins, and she has her Texas, and then she has her young adults, and she has, you know, all of these.
And I have my Ebola book.
Oh, are you going to tell that story? Can I tell that story?
Oh, you tell that story.
See, I told you because I'm going to not ever shut my listen. I mean, can I tell that story? You want to tell that story?
You tell the Ebola story.
Okay. All right. This is so good. This is such a great story. So she wrote this book, and it was getting critically acclaimed by the bloggers. And there was a several-week anticipation building, you know, on social media about this book that was coming out from her. And it was exciting, and it was different, and it was serious. And her book was coming out, like, say, on Tuesday. And everyone was anticipating it. And that Monday, the first case of Ebola was diagnosed in Dallas. Well, her book was about Ebola. So everyone was so afraid of getting Ebola.
Oh, my God.
People were like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, sir, what have you done?
People would not read the book because they were scared they were going to get Ebola from the book.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding?
It was too scary. It was scary.
No, I'm serious.
I know. I mean, Oh, it's just, here, buy Ebola.
Sarah caused Ebola.
Way to go.
Hashtag that.
So I always, when I signed that book, I always signed it, I hope you live until the end.
Oh, my God. No, you really? You do? That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? I know.
Oh, my God.
And I watched all that happen. That was so funny. And that's just right up my alley to laugh at. And that is so funny because it was a serious, serious issue. And it was almost like she should take the book off the market because it is nothing to play with.
Right. No. Why do that? That would be too much. You'd miss on all the fun. That's awesome.
She's got a series out now that is bundled. Tell me if I get it wrong there. That is bundled, and it's your, I don't know the series name, but it's your Pray the Gay Away series.
And I'm
not entirely sure what happened with that one either. I mean, it's won a lot of awards, and it's got,
I love that one.
Yeah, it's been, had some big review companies come in and review that book. And something else happened, like during that time, something happened, and it took a minute for people to decide, okay, I need to read this. But I don't remember. Do you remember, Sarah? I don't want to give you anything on the book, so I don't want to tell you what I'm thinking because people really need to read that.
Yeah. It was before the laws changed, and there were still a lot of states that allowed gay conversion therapy because it's about kids that get sent to conversion therapy. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of moms who have gay kids who have said they wanted to read the book, but they can't. But then I also have, because I did name the book, the first book in the series, Pray the Gay Away. And I actually had somebody contact me and tell me I was stupid, and they used other words, which I don't think I can use on air. But some of them started with a B, and there were some other words that might have started with an F. And they cursed me out bad for naming it that. And that morning, whenever I'd just gotten a letter with the person cursing me out, I'd gotten a letter from a mom who said, we were looking for a way to cure our son, and I stumbled on your book because it was named Pray the Gay Away. And I read your entire series because when I wrote it, I knew I had to put the books out within a week of each other.
Right, because
so
people were going to want.
I dropped all three within weeks of each other. And she said, I read the entire series, and we decided to change how we're going to deal with our son being gay.
Wow.
And so instead of them sending,
awesome.
And that wasn't the only one. I got hundreds of letters from moms who said, we're no longer going to send our kid to camp because they found that book because it was named Pray the Gay Away. And they were going to send their kids to camp so that they could be cured. And they decided, nope, we can't do that now.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. Congrats.
Now,
that's,
Sarah.
That's a great thing.
What's
it
the
kind
other
of
name
cry.
For your books in that series? What are the other names for your books in that series?
Sending Jack off to Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Jesus. Wedding.
You know, they're not knocking Jesus either, but, you know, I don't think that's going to be the thing that, yeah. Yeah, but here let's see if that'll change who you are. So yeah.
There were a lot of.
I bet there were.
That was so funny.
A lot of Baptist preachers wrote me and said, "Oh my gosh, this whole series was my life," and it's because I named it. Because I had the Pray the Gay Away and then Sending Jack Off to Jesus, they were
they thought it was,
they had to read it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The main character's name is Jack. His name is Jack. You have to read that title correctly.
Yeah. Exactly. It's not together. It's a noun.
Yes. 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 Is Jack and all hyphenated? I don't. How do you explain that one? I'm just.
It's not. It's not.
Only in your mind.
I know. That would be Kindle 1.0's mind. That honestly never occurred to me until right when she started laughing. What
she's
moment?
The
that
quiet, was. Thinking one. Dun, dun, dun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quiet, perfect
okay.
thinking one.
So we got about 13 minutes left. I have somebody on the line. I think I'm pretty sure who it is, but I'll bring them on to talk to you guys. And also, and then we'll get back. We'll talk to Sarah a little bit about how she started out. Okay, let me grab this person real quick. Hi, you're live on The Librarian with the Triple Threat. Would you like to talk to the authors?
Yes, I would.
Go ahead.
It's Melissa. I just saw
hey, people.
Melissa. Hey, Melissa.
I had to wait and talk to you.
We love Melissa.
Well, I love y'all too. And like I said, this has been hilarious, girls.
Oh, could you just speak? Because we love your accent. Melissa has some amazing stories, too. Melissa needs to get on your show because we just spent 3 hours talking to her, and we didn't even know 3 hours went by. She's
hilarious.
Funny. Okay, go ahead.
I'm the drama queen of the crowd.
And you're good at it. You are good at it.
Well, I can say that because that's what my undergraduate degree is in. So,
hey, there you go.
Yeah. And where y'all were talking about recommending books, you know, to straight men, I just got a request from one of the author groups I'm in, and it was a straight guy, and he said, give me, you know, he says, I hadn't done this. I'm not adverse to it. Hit me up with some books. Well, I get asked this a lot because people now know I read both Kindle and Sarah, and those they are always my go-tos. You know, if somebody's asked me, I always do them together because of the different storytelling. But they both sets of these ladies have great storytelling voices, and I think that a lot of people get introduced to Eminem. Genre, and they pick up somebody who's not a great storyteller.
Right.
And it really, aww. It kills it for, you know, it kills the whole aspect of checking around and seeing because, you know, if you do read some of them, you know, some of them are not great storytellers. They really should not be doing this, you know, because it gives you a bad impression. So, like I said, these ladies are always my go-to ladies.
Melissa, I'm going to have Kindle 1.0 move over, and will you be my new best friend?
Oh, fine. I always get kicked to the curb.
Can I not just follow behind?
You could just have a threesome. Yeah, huh?
Yeah, can I not just be that little Georgia shadow that follows you around?
Does everybody ask you to speak all the time because of that accent?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that accent.
Thank you for those nice words.
Oh no!
Well,
I mean them seriously. If you follow what I do, like I said, when people ask me, you know, when they asked at the beginning of the year, what were your books? Y'all all, you know, some combination of y'all always make my list. Just
aww.
Because, and like
aww,
I said, just
so
because
sweet.
It's important to be good storytellers. Doesn't matter what kind of love situations you're in, you know, as long as you can tell a good story to support that, it, you know, because like I said, I'll read just about anything except for just blood and gore horror. I can't do that from what I did for a living for years and got to live kind of like the foster business that Sarah was talking about she was in. Because of the background with working with children and all, I can't do horror stuff. That's not an entertainment for me. But reading so is. And like I said, these three ladies are always my go-to girls. So I said,
well,
I just wanted
to. You.
You're quite welcome.
Thank
I just wanted
so
to
much.
Say hi to everybody and ha-
hi,
see
Gloria.
How wonderful this has been fun tonight, too. So.
Thank you. Yeah, am I talking
thank
too
you
much?
For calling.
Melissa, you be honest and tell me the truth. Am I talking too much?
No, because,
no,
I mean, you know.
Talk. No, don't say anything else. I'm just looking at Rhonda Sonner. She's wrong.
Y'all are a mess.
Well, hey, like I said, there's, like I said, I'm going to be the little Georgia drama shadow that kind of could follow you around.
Oh, you're stuck with us forever. You're wonderful. We just got to meet her when we were driving through Atlanta, and we carved out some time because she's just been she's so good to follow.
Uh-huh.
On Facebook, we follow her all the time, and she's just wonderful.
Yeah, I have a good time now that I'm retired and don't have a morality clause holding me.
Yep.
I can say what I want to. And, you know, that's the good thing about, you know, being older, you know, being in your 60s. I can say anything I want to, and so what? If you don't like it, just, you know, unfriend me, go somewhere else, tell me you don't like it, you know, and like I said, I have fun with it, and I've had fun getting to know all of these ladies just through Facebook, and what you get on Facebook is what you get in real life, so that's a great thing, too.
It is great. I agree with that, too. You're right.
Yep.
You're smart. You're the smartest one.
Because I'm saying what you want to hear.
That's exactly correct, too. See how good you are.
Well, y'all have fun with the rest of this. I love all of you.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you.
You're quite
thank
welcome.
You.
I'll see y'all on down the road.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
All right.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
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 Y'all got a good cheerleader. That's awesome.
She's wonderful. She is.
So sweet.
She's so sweet. And you just can't say enough good things about her.
She's awesome. If anybody gets a chance to be her friend, you need to.
Yeah, she's my friend on Facebook. So let's go to Sarah real quick. We have about 6 minutes left, and I want to make sure that we talk about all your social media areas before we finish. But let's go over to Sarah real quick. So Sarah, so what was it like meeting these crazy chicks that were all like fangirling all over you?
It was weird. The reason why it was weird is I had an illness about 11 years ago, and it caused some brain damage in the part of my brain where, like, you remember.
That explains so much.
Yeah, so, like, the first 6 months after the illness, you know that movie 50 First Dates?
Oh, yeah, that was me.
I didn't recognize my husband. I didn't recognize my husband at all for about 6 months. And then I finally started recognizing him. So, like, any guy could have come up to me with glasses on. I knew he wore glasses. So any guy in the world could have come up to me with glasses on, and I would have been like, okay, you're my husband, let's go.
Well,
and
damn it, if it wasn't Brad Pitt, you know, or something.
Yeah, so meeting people is kind of weird. Like, over the last, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, it's gotten so much better. But, like, we were in the store shopping at Walmart, and I was walking through, and I saw Kendall, and I was like, huh, do I know that person? And so I'm still at that point where if I'm not, like, really thinking about who I'm with, I have no clue. If I know
so
that
the
person
point is
or
you
not.
Didn't really remember us. You didn't remember us. You just hugged us and smiled because you knew that
I remember
what you needed
the name. I remember the name. And you know what? It is so freeing because it's allowed me just to be nice to people. And because, you know, everybody
hard to hold a grudge.
We're all human. No, it's hard to hold a grudge whenever you don't even remember who the person was.
Yeah.
So it's just so freeing to be nice to everybody, and people smile at you whenever you smile at them. And if they don't, you just forget about them. So it's kind of nice.
I kind of do that anyway, so.
That's good.
Well, awesome. I mean, awesome, I guess. It does sound like it's kind of a freeing thing. It probably has helped you free up, you know, that energy for writing. So,
can I ask Sarah a question? Because I always love this answer. Sarah, what made you start writing?
What made me start writing? Are you talking about my sister?
Uh-huh.
Are you talking about my cousin, my sister?
Your sister. Your sister.
Yeah. She was always better than me at everything. Mm-hmm. And she told me quite often how much better she was. So she quit her job and was going to go live on a boat in the Bahamas. And they did for a year. And she said, I'm going to write a book in that year. And I was like, oh, hell no, that's my dream. You're not going to write a book whenever I'm supposed to. So I sat down and started writing seriously and got a book finished.
Awesome. Good for you. You beat the sister. I have one like that too, but I love her. Anyway, just in case she's listening, I have to say I love her.
Yes, we all love our sisters that are just like that, yes.
Yes.
Yes. But it's nice whenever you're constantly reminded that you're not the good one.
Oh, yeah.
To actually do something.
Yeah.
Whenever
I
heard that story the first time I was at a conference and I was listening to her speak. And she got asked that question, and she just looked over and said, because I had to beat my sister. And it made me, and I bust out laughing because everything's funny to me. And I laughed until I realized nobody else was laughing because it was so funny the way she said it because I had to beat my sister.
Because okay. You probably just
okay.
really understood that one.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just so funny.
Okay. Well, we got 2 minutes left, and I don't want to be getting all of the information out. And I told you this hour would go really fast. Let's see, real quick, the Kendall Alexander team, your website's just kendallalexander.com, and
yeah.
You have other social media, Twitter under Kendall Alexander?
We have Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr. We have a Tumblr, Kendall Alexander, or Kendall's Prayer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's author Kendall Alexander. Author Kendall Alexander. And we're starting
okay.
a Snapchat that we're excited about. And can I tell our offer? Can I say that right now?
Yeah.
Because it's very good. Okay. This is something we do for anyone that's never tried Mail or never tried Kendall Alexander. If you're interested in giving it a try, email us. And it's Kindle at kindlealexander.com. It's also on the website. And we're happy to send you a gift code to give us a try.
Okay.
It's an Amazon gift code of,
awesome.
Of one of our books.
Sarah, your
yes.
website is just sarahyork.com, correct?
Yes, and no H, because Sarah York with an H writes Christian Inspirationals.
Oh, that's
not
you.
Me.
That's not you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you
yeah.
can find them online. You can find all the books that on
yeah.
all the outlets. And
yeah.
we've got to have you guys back on sometime. And you guys have, I think the three of you probably need to get together with Pam, and she'll really enjoy this. So we've got about 20 seconds left. So I don't want to get cut off. So
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Taking the time
thank
out.
You.
Yeah, you
You're
guys
wonderful.
Are who? And,
You're wonderful.
Well, and send me the information about the next releases and that the charity one, and we'll get it posted.
You were so easy to talk to. Thank you. We were nervous
thank you
about
so
this.
Very much.
Yep. You made it wonderful.
Thank you very much. That was
You're
awesome.
You're welcome. Have a great evening. It's
you
just
too. Thank you.
All right. Bye.